Now? Yeah. All right, good. Yes, so my name is Johnny. I'm here with my partner Ariella. The last time we were here was about 2 years ago, and it was an interesting story of how we were able to get here. We were doing literature evangelism in the middle of Texas. We first started doing it with just university programs on and off, and then we decided to do it full-time as a ministry, and we did that self-supporting ministry for about 7 months. And I was I knew the Jan Markison's ministry. How many of you ever heard of a National Study of Law book? Okay, National Study of Law is a book that's published by Jan Markison. Basically, it goes over the third angel's message in a very simple way and only about 70 pages. And I got a call from their ministry, and they said, "Hey, Johnny, we know this lady in Texas who bought 1,000 National Study of Laws and needs help spreading them. Do you think you'd be interested in helping her?" And I said, "Oh, well, that sounds interesting." So I asked for the phone number. I called this mysterious woman, and the mysterious woman was Donnellan. And after talking with her, she invited me and Ariella to come and stay at her home for about a month until we can pass out all the National Sunday Laws. And so that's how we got acquainted with Donnellan, and we went to her house in Hillister, and we started doing some literature evangelism there as well as passing out the National Sunday Law books. And then we had the opportunity to meet with the Warren Church. And then a couple weeks later, we got introduced to the Beaumont SDA Church. And it was really a powerful experience for us. We had the opportunity to see what kind of gifts God had given us, whether it was through passing out literature or public speaking, and just to see what life is like out in the country. Donnellan's property is very nice. So it was a really great experience, and I will share some things as we go, but the Warren and Beaumont SDA Church are actually very near and dear to Ariella and I's hearts for many reasons. And before we get started into the message today, I just ask if you could bow with me as I ask God to help me. Father, I thank you so much for your love and your mercy. I thank you that you have given me this privilege to share what you have convicted me with. And I just pray that it would be your words that are spoken and that the Holy Spirit would bring to remembrance the things that Jesus has taught me. And may the hearts of the congregation as well as mine alike be convicted in sin, righteousness, and judgment from your faithful Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Amen. So, some of you may be wondering what happened after we left. Well, in January, we left mid-January. And then we got hired, I got hired as a Bible worker for my home church. And so starting off the new year, I started getting involved into the new ministry of Bible working. And Ariella was working alongside with me. It was really convenient because I needed a female to go with me with the female Bible students that God provided with. So it was very nice. But during this time, Ariella was on and off doing literature evangelism with the university programs. And it was about mid-2018 that we both stumbled upon something that forever changed our life from that point on. And it was in her pursuit of finding God's will for her life that Ariella was impressed to start searching for schools on natural remedies. She searched it under another name at first and couldn't find many schools on what she was looking for. But with the term of natural remedies and Seventh-day Adventist school, she was able to boil it down to two schools that she liked. These two schools were Wildwood and Light. Wildwood is a self-supporting institute. It's been running since 1940 something. It's about 80 years old. It's the longest self-supporting mission school that that is still active in the U.S. And it has a lifestyle center, sanitarium, and a health food store there. And Light, funny enough, is actually just a co-ministry with Wildwood on the same exact campus. And so these were the two that she was deciding from. And after prayer and discussion, she decided that this would be the best option, Wildwood. And she tried to kind of get me interested in Wildwood. And when I looked at the curriculum, to be honest with you, I said, I don't want anything to do with that except for the Bible classes. I like to study more of the Bible and nutrition and physiology and herbs. It just didn't reach out to me, you know? And so time went on, and she at first was thinking about doing the online course. And I supported her in her decision, but as time went on, she started showing me quotes from the Spirit of Prophecy, and we did a Bible study on healing and a Bible study on natural remedies and Christ's ministry throughout the Bible. And then I became fully convicted after seeing how many of the students that God had blessed me with had diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, obesity, depression, and anxiety. And I knew how to give them a Bible study and share a Bible promise, but I didn't know how to minister to their mental and physical needs. And I realized, if I want to be like Jesus, if I want to reach more people in the world, I need to learn what it means to be a medical missionary. How many of you ever heard of the term of medical missionary before? It's not very common, you know, and I've never heard of it. I've been in Adventist Church about 4 years now, never heard of the term, but when I was introduced to it and I studied it out, it made perfect sense. So after talking with some people at the church, and instead of Ariella just doing the online course, we both decided to go to Wildwood together in person. And we arrived at Wildwood December 13th, 2018. We folded up the Bible Working Ministry to begin a new ministry and medical missionary work. So we spent a year in Wildwood getting medical missionary training and practical experience. And I want to talk to you today about this forgotten practical ministry. So as we get into the study today, my first question is, why would anybody consider doing medical missionary work? Why even do it? Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. The simple answer is because Jesus did it. But let's see what the Bible has to say about that. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 through 24 is actually our scripture reading today. Matthew chapter 4, 23 and 24. Okay, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them." So there's three things that was mentioned in verse 23 that Jesus did. He preached, teached, and what? Healed. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Line upon line, tittle upon tittle, right? Precept upon precept. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." So we see the three things: preaching, teaching, and what else? Healing. So notice, Jesus didn't just do one or two, as sometimes we limit ourselves to do. You know, it's easy when we, for example, an evangelist, it's easy for him to just travel and preach or to travel and teach. But Jesus took all three of these things and combined it into one ministry, one method, and that is called medical missionary work. And how many of you would say that Jesus is our example? Raise your hand. Is Jesus our example in how we should teach? What about in the manners? You think Jesus is a good example of manners? What about how to be holy? How about how to run a church service? How about with Christian association between men and women? He would be an example in all things, right? So if he is our example in all things, then we need to study his life and see how can we and how should we do ministry. I want you to think about something. How many years did Jesus have public ministry? About 3 to 3.5, right? If someone were to tell you, now, we don't set dates in the Adventist church, but if someone was to say Jesus was coming 3.5 years, and you have only that amount of time to finish the work and reach the whole world, what would you do? I would say, you know what? Let's hire Bible workers for every church in the conference. Let's hold a week-long evangelistic series every month of the year to bring souls to the kingdom. Let's buy thousands of dollars of literature to reach the communities with the third angel's message. But it's interesting. And do you think those methods would be good? I do. But Jesus, with only 3.5 years to reach the world with the gospel, said no. I'm going to spend more time healing than I am preaching and teaching. That shows us something about how powerful this ministry is. So now that we understand the why we should do health evangelism or medical missionary work, because Jesus did it, the real question is, what is it? How many of you know what it is? Because I asked you if you have heard of the term, but it's another thing of hearing and knowing what it means, right? Well, thankfully, the Bible gives us answers to what this ministry really is. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. And we're going to look at the calling, the anointing of Christ, and his that basically maps out his ministry. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Okay, it says that, talking about the Spirit of the Lord has anointed him. This is a part of his calling. This is how his ministry should be. And it's to preach the gospel to the who? To the poor. Heal the broken. To preach deliverance to the captives. Recovering sight to the? Set at liberty them that are? Yes. Bruised, oppressed. Preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So if this is basically the anointing of Christ, do you think that since Jesus is truth, do you think that this would be demonstrated in his life and in his ministry practically? I think so too. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And we're looking at what is medical missionary work. What does it look like practically? Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with" what kind of spirit? "Unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, that thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.'" And what did Jesus say unto him? "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him that he would not send them out away from the country. Let's pick up in verse 15, and we'll read through 20. "And when they came to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, they were afraid. And when that they saw it, and they that saw it told him how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, that he had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with them. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, 'Go home to thy friends and tell them how great the Lord, great things the Lord hath done for thee, and have had compassion on thee.'" How many of you ever heard this story before? Did you know that when you're reading this story, Jesus was showing you how you can be a medical missionary? This man was possessed with an unclean what? We read in the anointing of Christ that he would basically set at liberty those that are bruised and let loose those who are held captive. Well, he set this man at liberty who was bruised or held captive by Satan. And it's interesting, in verse 15, the man was naked to begin with, but what did Jesus do? It says that he was what? Clothed. And in his right mind. So when we look at the ministry of Christ, we see that he not only delivered the person from evil and into a life of righteousness, but that he met his physical needs by clothing him, and then he met his mental needs by restoring him whole. So medical missionary work is not only about spiritual wholeness, but it's about physical and mental wholeness with the people that we reach out to in the communities. Another example, let's go to Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 through 19. And as you're going there, something that is important to point out about the story with the man named Legion. In verse 19 of that chapter, it said that that Jesus had compassion on this man. And when we look at medical missionary work, Jesus shows in his example that it can only be done through compassion. Do you think that you can minister unto the poor and needy without compassion? No, not as Jesus did it, right? Let's go to Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 through 19. Starting in verse 13. Now, this is just to give a backstory. John the Baptist was just beheaded. Verse 12 tells us that the disciples came, took the body, buried it, and told Jesus. And now starting verse 13, it says, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. What was the motive for healing the sick in this, according to this verse? It was compassion. Medical missionary work involves love and compassion in order to reach out to these people to give them something better that they may be restored to health and to heal from their illness. Let's continue. In verse 15, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give them ye to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and how many fishes? All right. And he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. So we read that it was compassion that moved him to heal the sick, right? Do you think it was the same motive that led him to feed them? Yes. So we see in the past story that he clothed the man and he restored his mind mentally. He gave them a spiritual wholeness. And then we see here that out of the same motive of compassion that he heals the sick and that he feeds the hungry. One more scripture verse just to look at what it means to be a medical missionary practically through the life of Jesus. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Let's read we can start in verse 30. No, we'll start in verse 29. That'd be better. It says, and they departed from Jericho, who followed him? A great multitude. And behold, 2 men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called unto them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? And they say unto him, Lord, that our what? Eyes may be open. So Jesus had what? compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. There's many stories in the Bible that reveal the healing power of Christ and what he did throughout his ministry. But I selected these special portions of scripture because in each passage or each story, they always refer to the compassion of Christ in doing so. And this is very important because God is what? God is love. And a ministry like this, serving humanity, cannot be done as Jesus did it if our heart is void of love and compassion. For those of you who have notes, Manuscripts 55:1901, it says, medical missionary work brings to humanity the gospel of release from suffering. It is the pioneer work of the gospel. It is the gospel practiced, the compassion of Christ revealed. How many of you ever heard that medical missionary work is the right arm to the gospel? How many of you ever heard that? Okay. For those taking notes, same reference, Manuscripts 55:1901. It says, we have been instructed by the Lord that the medical missionary work is to be the work of the third angel's message as a right hand to the body. So imagine, if it's to be the right hand to the body, you have the body being the third angel's message and your right arm being the gospel. Okay, keep that in mind. It says, the right hand is used to open doors through which the body may find entrance. This is the part medical missionary work is to act. It is to largely prepare the way for the reception of the truth for this time. So imagine going to a crowd or a door that can't be opened because you're trying to use your stomach. You think it would be very easy to open a door with your stomach? Now, some crowds, some people, you can just walk right in and you can share the body, the three angels' messages, the everlasting gospel. But when it comes to a door, you need something to open it so the body can walk in. This is the part that medical missionary work or health evangelism is to play. You reach forward to the crowd and it unlocks the door so that this part of the body, the everlasting gospel, can come in. Let me share an example with you. So how many of you ever heard of a pathway to health? Okay, a pathway to health is basically a health expo, which has 8 booths, each for the natural remedies, but it adds free dental care, free vision care, things like that. So it's free clinic for about 2 to 3 days for the community. There was one in Texas, Fort Worth, about 1.5 years ago. I went there. We served over 6,700 people in 2.5 days with free medical care. And I was in the hydrotherapy department doing the spiritual wellness booth. Ariella was doing massages, and it was my job after they received the massage to pray with them and to share literature with them and to sign them up for Bible studies. After receiving massages, free haircuts, free dental, all these things, and one day, I think it was either the first or second day, we had over 300 Bible study signups. I think only had about 2 to 3 people reject the literature that I was passing to them. And I think only one person rejected prayer. It was then at that moment that I realized that reaching the people and meeting their needs through health truly opens the door of their heart to receive something better that we have to offer. And that something better is Jesus Christ himself. We did a trip to New Jersey. Let me see if I can pull this up. I have this PowerPoint. We did this trip to New Jersey. And while we were there, they were having a health fair. So just like what they did at Pathways to Health, but it was from the church. So it was smaller, you know. And they offered things like blood pressure testing and things like that. Just free health education. We passed out about 1,000 flyers, 150 people showed up for the event that the church held, and many of them were telling the leaders at the church that they wanted to come back and that they wanted more programs like this to happen in the community. And so this really does open up doors. Here's our team that went to New Jersey, and we We did a church training for hydrotherapy. We did church training for massage, gave testimonies, and this was us training the church and how to do evangelism. And all the efforts that were put in were worth it because at that event, people wanted to come to the church. The people in the church that were trained were still on fire after we left and kept doing evangelism. This kind of work breaks down prejudice. You know, there's a lot of prejudice against Seventh-day Adventists. Maybe not as much as the Jehovah's Witnesses at this moment, but we are very high ranking. When people hear of a Seventh-day Adventist, they think of something negative. Listen to this quote, Counsels on Health, page 535. Excuse me, CME 7.2. Do medical missionary work. Thus you will gain access to the hearts of the people. The way will be prepared for more decided proclamation of the truth. You'll find that relieving their physical suffering gives an opportunity to minister to their spiritual needs. You know, I have a testimony about this. I had a guy in the community. He was out of work for 3 days. How many days was he out? Okay, he had a migraine. When we called him on the phone, he was moaning and groaning. We go into the house. He's a mess. His house is a mess, and he can't handle himself. So what do I do? By the grace of God, I learned how to do hydrotherapy, so I did a hot foot bath treatment on him for about 40 minutes to relieve him of his migraine. After the treatment, he rested, called back a few hours later and said, "Thank you so much. I am so much better," and he was at work the next day. Now, we could give God glory because I prayed at that treatment and told, I said in the prayer that I asked Jesus to answer it, that the Father would be glorified. And that this man would know that God healed him. And so it was God that healed him, but it didn't stop there. We actually were able to pick up Bible studies with this guy because of that. So it truly does break down prejudice. It allows this medical missionary work breaks down the stony rock. It is an entering wedge into the people's lives and into the people's hearts to receive the truth that we know for this time. And we see that Jesus used it as a right arm. He, because of healing, got so many crowds of people to follow him. And because of that, him ministering to their needs, they received salvation as a result. And these statements are just so true. When we have been through at Wildwood and receiving this training in medical missionary work, I just want to share a little bit of classes that we took just so you can get an idea. We did biblical nutrition, physiology. We learned how to give health talks. How to do community outreach such as health expos. We had classes on how to prevent common diseases naturally. We had classes on just natural remedies. We learned full body Swedish massage. We had a class on hydrotherapy, how to do cooking classes for adults, for children. We learned Daniel and Revelation, sanctuary, self-supporting work, true education, just to name a few. And we have been equipped with the knowledge to know how to be an active part of this ministry and how to actually demonstrate it. So with that being said, I want to share some special memories with you. This was still in New Jersey here. We visited New York. We didn't really like our experience there. We realized the importance of living in the country after we visited New York. So so praise the Lord. But we see Ariella there ministering unto the poor and needy there. But with the training that we were able to receive, we learned about health expos. I kind of already told you about that through Pathway to Health, but this is just on a smaller scale. So we'll go to the community. Ariella's in the Trust in God booth there. You see her doing massages as well. We basically go to the people where they are, give them free health education on New Start, and then through our temperance booth, they're able to sign up for a follow-up, whether they're interested in Bible studies, whether they're interested in more health programs, an evangelistic series. And then at the end, we have a Trust in God booth. We're able to counsel them through the Bible and Bible promises to get through the obstacles in their health and mental health or even spiritual health if they're open about that. So health expo is a big blessing. We have them for adults and for children. You can see there that I'm massaging. He's probably a 10-year-old. It was very interesting. And then I'm in the Trust in God booth there on the other one doing some counseling with a woman there. We learned how to do, We learned how to do cooking class for children. So this was a community event where we went there and we wanted to educate the children and parents on healthy cooking And for the parents that went, we taught them how to reduce hypertension, how to reduce high cholesterol, how to reduce type 2 diabetes just by substituting plant-based options into their meals. It's very fun. We did about three of those in the community. Waiting for this. Many different recipes. It was very fun. And here's the man who we did the hot foot bath with. Something interesting that we also did was through health, we were able to do business evangelism and church evangelism. You know, we were able to go to the same businesses over and over again to advertise for the events that we had coming up. We were able to go to different churches and advertise and tell them about what we're doing. And through friendship with a non-denominational pastor, he actually allowed us to go and give my personal testimony at his congregation and my friend to do special music, and he told us he wanted Great Controversies and this Radiant Living magazine passed out to all of his church members. So we have a non-denominational pastor opening his door to us because of friendship and because of health. So it truly does break down prejudice. We did, by God's grace, through this work, we can see here that we went to the communities, provide massages for just the people at their homes. We did health counseling and advice to parents. We went to four places, and I went to Rhode Island, Ariella went to Kentucky. There was a team in Michigan and a team in Houston, Texas. We did church trainings on massages, hydrotherapy, how to do health expos, and all the eight natural remedies. Very powerful. And we can see that it's not only about breaking down prejudice of Adventists and health in the community, but sometimes it's about breaking down the prejudice of health amongst Adventists as well and training them how to use it to be a useful light for God. So it's very fun just to show y'all some pictures here. We see Ariella teaching hydrotherapy and ministering into the community members with hydrotherapy there, health expo, and so on. So we had so many things that God was able to bless us with to be a blessing to others. But with this being said, we understand why we should do it, because Jesus did it. How it should be done through his life. Now, the question is, who should do it? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 58. How many of you know about Isaiah chapter 58? Isaiah chapter 58 is a very shocking passage of Scripture. It goes down and shows us what is the true meat or what true ministry should really look like. Let's start in verse 1 and we'll go through verse 7. It says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show thy people their transgression," "in the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me of the ordinances of justice, and they take delight in approaching to God." Now check this out. "Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high." So we see, we have a religious group of people, right? Do you think that they're doing religion the right way? Do you think they're doing it God's way or man's way? Man's way, right? Let's continue, because God says, "Is this such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord?" Now, let's get into what is true religion, true ministry. "Is it not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? And when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and when thou hide, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh?" And I like verse 8. It says, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be a reward." Sounds a lot like the anointing and ministry that Christ had, didn't it? Loose the bands of weakness, undo heavy burdens, let the oppressed go, break every yoke, deal the bread to the hungry, bring the poor that are cast out to our homes, and cover the naked. We are called to participate in the very same spirit and work of Christ. Often when we think of evangelism, we think of knocking on doors, giving Bible studies, preaching, and all these things have their part, right? But sometimes when we get so often to doing these things, we begin to think that evangelism is about, in order for others to be spiritually edified, we think it's about only sharing what we know, thus intellectual, and the importance of meeting the physical needs of humanity, practical, is neglected. Often we as Christians get used to an intellectual experience. We know a lot. We share what we know, but we lack doing the practical ministry that God has called us to focus on. We lack on sharing sympathy and love with our fellow brethren and the sick and needy. Before I got involved with medical missionary work, I was a legalist for many years, and I was in the process of healing from legalism when I found out about this calling, and I prayed and I said, God, I don't love people enough as I should. There's no way I can be a medical missionary without love. I just can't do it. It can't be done. We read that Jesus had compassion on the multitude, on humanity, in order to do his work. And it's so amazing because I was so used to such an intellectual experience, but medical missionary reveals the balance of what true ministry is. It brings both the mind, intellectual, and heart practical service, for it cannot be separated. And this is how ministry should be. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 27. James chapter 1, verse 27. This is how true ministry should be. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. True religion is service to humanity and spiritual growth independently to God. It's together. True ministry is service to man and service to God. You have four commandments for your duty to God, and you have the rest of the six to your fellow men. That is true ministry. My friends, there's so many needs in the world right now that I say we as a church can't afford to neglect this work any longer. I would say that now is the time to awake out of sleep, the sleep of our responsibility to minister unto the poor and needy and those who are unfortunate. Now is the time to cast off our selfishness and partake in the yoke of Christ to serve humanity in the ways that we can. How many of you know that we're living in the time of the end? Okay, good. Now I want to just kind of share something with you. Medical missionary work was the right arm to the three angels' messages, right? And we as Christians, Seventh-day Adventists alike, are supposed to use health in order to reach the communities. Did you know that there's a big, big awareness of health in the world today? And it's not only by Seventh-day Adventist or Christian standpoint. If you go to the store, most of the natural food markets, you'll see the teas and the products all contain New Age mysticism and spiritualism. Satan is counterfeiting the work of Christ in this time. How many non-believers do you know that are going vegetarian? How many documentaries and shows are coming out and movies to support vegetarian eating or plant-based eating? Satan is counterfeiting the work of God and using health as his right arm to bring people into the religion of spiritualism, mysticism, and New Age. So now is the time to work as it has been revealed to us for over 100 years. So now with this being said, let's wrap it up. What are the results of medical missionary work? One, as you serve humanity, you will grow in personal sanctification yourself. The lives of the people that you reach out to will be touched. In this work, you will be able to reveal through your love, deeds, and words who God is and that you're truly a child of God himself. And just as the multitudes followed Christ as a result of the medical missionary work, we will attract more people to this church. And as those that we run into in life are closed off to hearing about God, medical missionary work will open their door to receive Jesus as the true and living Savior. And I'll say ultimately, it is a work that does and is and will continue to give glory to God. This work does make a difference in the lives of the people, for the church growth, and ultimately to bring glory to God. So I want to appeal to you as a church, now that you have been introduced to medical missionary work, don't neglect it. Search it further. See what it means and what you can do to be a blessing to humanity. You know, I've actually heard that this church has done a health expo before. Is that true? Has there been cooking classes here too? Wow, so you all already know. Maybe you just didn't know the title. You're already using health as a means of reaching the people in some capacity. So if you are convicted and you feel that you need to be trained in this area, I appeal to you, search for a training mission school. UG Pines, Eden Valley, Wildwood Health Institute. So that way you can be a blessing in the present and for the rest of your life to others. And it's the kind of training, it's the kind of experience that is contagious. It just doesn't stay to yourself. Because when you get away from the experience of learning about all these new things, you start beginning to realize how many people are sick in the world. The door never closes for healing because there's always going to be sickness as long as there is sin. And friends, our actions speak louder than our words when we go to reach the communities, right? Jesus calls us to partake in the ministry of both meeting the spiritual and physical needs of humanity. And as we do this, God will make a big difference in the lives of the people that we reach out to. And ultimately, the door of opportunity to share the gospel is, as it is in Jesus, will increase. We want to thank you so much for allowing us to come. It's been a crazy week. We literally 2 weeks. We graduated on the 13th, left on the 15th. We traveled from Georgia back home to Copper's Cove, Texas. We left Copper's Cove, Texas, and arrived at Donnellan's Thursday so we could have the privilege to share with the Beaumont and Warren SDA Church, who has supported us financially and who has supported us with your prayers and your love. We wanted to make sure that before we leave on the 31st to go to a mission trip, that we had the opportunity to share with you what your contribution has been has done and allowed us to do this past year. So what will we be doing next? As I mentioned, the 31st, pulling it up here, we'll be leaving to a special country in Asia. I don't think I can mention it out loud at this part, at this point, but we will be in charge of going to, it's near, I'll give you a hint, it's near India and China, okay? So we'll be going over there and we'll be staying at a school. Now, this school is specifically ministering to children in the slums. So there's about 150 children. The parents are so poor that the children, when they go to the school, they give them showers, brush their teeth, give them uniforms and clothes to wear, and their education is a Christian education. Amen? The only Adventist is the owner, and the teachers are Muslims, Hindus, and a little, I think one or two of them Christian. So when we get there, Our duty will be to teach some of the classes that we have learned in this course to the teachers so that they can teach their children, the children in hygiene and nutrition, physiology, and all these things. And we'll be teaching them Bible classes, and we'll be responsible for training church members on how to do medical missionary work. So it's a very special project. We're leaving the 31st. We'll be back January 27th. And it's because of the Warren and Beaumont SDA Church, the love and support you have shown, that we've been able to save throughout the year to be able to make this trip happen. It was about nearly $3,000 between the both of us that we're able to save up to go. So we're really thankful. And what we'll do after Bangladesh? Oh, I said it. I think it's okay. Yeah, it just came out. Anyway, so after that, we'll be staying at Wildwood for one more year to get the advanced course training. The advanced course training is called lifestyle coaching. We'll be working in the sanitarium, in the lifestyle center, with the guests. We'll be doing, we'll be walking with the guests through their whole experience there. We'll be doing lifestyle coaching, working in the hydrotherapy department, meal planning, working in the lab, in the clinic, so that everything we learned these past 6 months, we'll be able to apply in person with a real guest this past year. And we'll be able to study further into mental health and disease and how to prevent and reverse naturally. And so when we leave, we're able to, for those who can't afford to go to Lifestyle Center and receive healing from God and education, we can bring the Lifestyle Center experience to their homes. We want to be able to be equipped when we come back to be able to train and walk and educate people at their home to be able to reverse disease that is so rampant today. So we thank you so much for your love and your prayers and your support. We just are so privileged to be here with you, and thank you for allowing us to come.